Greetings to all in the precious name of our dear Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For our meditation today, I'd like to turn our attention to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Shall we read?
Prayer. Loving Lord,
for this blessed day, we thank you, Lord, for giving us one more opportunity in our lives to be able to remember you, to be able to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for giving people like us who are once far away the opportunity to be in your presence, to be able to listen to you, to be able to worship you, and to be able to be blessed by you. Lord, as we sit before your word, pray, Lord, that you will give each one of us the grace that we need, the heart that we need to understand, and a listening ear. Pray, Lord, that you will use me to speak through me, that your name will be glorified. We ask and pray all these in the precious name of our dear Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is a familiar passage from 2 Timothy that talks about the different ministries that we as Christians have. We see here Paul, who very lovingly approaches Timothy through his letters, exhorting him as a father, exhorting him as an older brother, and taking the time to explain to him what is needed in this Christian walk. What we will specifically look at are seven different pictures of what a Christian ministry should look like. Or, in other words, what are the seven things that is listed here that Paul was trying to explain to Timothy? That you and I have the same responsibilities. That we, as children of God, are Christian ministers, and therefore we have those same responsibilities, and that is listed out here. First one that I'd like to read is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. That's where the first ministry is listed, verses 1 and 2. So as I read out verses, I would really appreciate it if one of the brothers would read it out loud for me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Amen. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So the first piece, or the first ministry that is listed here, is you and I being good stewards. You and I being good, faithful people. In order for you and I to be faithful, in order for you and I to be good stewards of this ministry, what is that first thing that you and I need to do? Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. To be faithful, to be good stewards, to be able to teach, one of the first things you have to do, and I have to do, is to be able to spend time in His Word. As stewards, as the ministry that Paul was explaining to Timothy, being in the place that he is, Paul is explaining that you need to spend time in the Word of God. You need to devote yourself listening and learning to what God has to tell you. Now, as Christian men, as Christian brothers and sisters, think about this for a minute. For you and I to be faithful, is it just enough? You and I are the ones that are learning, and we forget about the next generation. To be good stewards, you and I have an equal responsibility of making sure that the next generation is also doing the same. It is equally important that we understand and take the time to make sure the next generation, the children that's behind us, the youngsters that are behind us, are also spending time in the Word. That is how you and I can make sure that we are guarding and investing in what is important. The other piece to this is, I have to move away from that mic. Just make sure this is completely silent. The other piece that you and I have to understand is, can everybody teach? Or is it important that everyone should be able to teach? Well, to answer that, let me put it this way. How many of us accept that we are the body of Christ? By show of hands. All right, we all agree with that. How many of you think that we are all the mouth of that body? That we are our function or our organ, we are the mouth. How many of you think we are the mouth? Some of you, right? Can every single person become the mouth? What do you think is going to happen? None of that body, the rest of that body is not going to function. So, things that I learned early on in my life is not every person is able to teach. It's a responsibility, it's a stewardship that is given to some. And to those, it is very important that they teach. So if God has placed that as your responsibility, if He has given you become that part of that body to be able to teach, it is absolutely important that you spend that time and that you take that responsibility to function as the mouth or to function in that capacity of teaching. But if that is not the function that you are supposed to, please do not go function as that body that God has put you to act as. The second one I'd like to focus your attention is verses 3 and 4. One of the brothers could read it out, verses 3 and 4. Thank you. The brother read verses 8 to, through 13. Amen. So verse 3 specifically says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We see the second picture here, where Paul is reminding Timothy in terms of military warfare. They were in a country that that had lots of military strength, that focused a lot on military. So it was more appropriate to talk in terms of that military. A good soldier endures hardship. I don't know how many of you here have served in the military in any country that you are from. Is there anyone here that has served in any military services? Some may be here, but let me ask you this. If you wanted to enjoy life, if you wanted peace, how many of you here would join the military? So we all understand and know if you want comfort and if you want ease of life, military is not the place for you and I. But as a Christian, minister, our Lord is speaking through Paul and saying, you must therefore endure hardship as a soldier. What does that tell you and I? Are we going to have a life of enjoyment? Are we going to have a life where it's easy going? Scripture is reminding us that the moment you accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, the moment you sign on to be a Christian soldier, your life is not going to be easy. You will endure hardship. And Paul is reminding Timothy about that. Timothy is his goddess, his life, in not in the best case scenario. He's in a place where he's having difficulties. He's in a church where there are a lot of things going on. And Paul is exhorting him from the first chapter on saying, just like your mother and your grandmother have kept the faith, I am pretty sure that you will do so as well. Paul is exhorting Timothy and reminding him now, remember, you're in a war zone. And therefore, you are going to have hardship. And Paul is reminding Timothy, so therefore, remember, as a soldier, that's how you got to fight this fight. You got to endure the hardship that's ahead of you. What's coming ahead is not easy. Be prepared. That's the command that Paul is giving Timothy over here. Verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Just like a soldier has no business with what's going on in the rest of the world. They are almost disconnected from what's going on in their family and in the rest of their life. They are separated. They're put together in close quarters so that they can focus on one thing and one thing only, and that is what is needed for the battle and what lies ahead of them. And Paul is reminding Timothy that that's what you need to do. You have no time and you have no space to be entangled with the worries of this life. That's something, as Christians, that we have to be reminded. Just like a soldier, that we are signed up to endure hardship. But as a soldier, we have to forget the entanglements of this life. We cannot immerse ourselves in the worldly things so that we forget what our place is. Verses 8 and 9 reminds, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. A soldier always magnifies or glorifies his captain. We see Paul reminding Timothy of the one who saved him. He's reminding Timothy that here's the person that saved you and I, that broke that chains off. We are here to go and serve him as a good soldier. Therefore, I'm magnifying that person. Our life as Christians Our job as Christians is to glorify Him, the one who saved us. Every Sunday morning when we come here and we break bread, we take part in the cup, we're reminded of that, the one who died for us, the one who gave Himself up for us, the same one who rose victorious over death and hell. And it is our obligation to constantly glorify this person, to constantly magnify Him, just as a good soldier would. Just as a good soldier would always command respect and demand respect for his captain. They never want to speak low of their captain. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect. A soldier never goes into battle thinking of himself. And Paul is reminding Timothy about that. You are there in a battlefield. And your job is not to do things for yourself. What you're there to do is for the elect. You and I are not placed in this world. You and I are not placed in this assembly to serve yourself. We have been placed here for a purpose. As a soldier, to look out for everyone else. Paul is exhorting Timothy about this. He's reminding him that you are going to have hardships. You are going to have problems. But also, remember, you are not in it for yourself. You are here to serve everybody around you. You're here to serve the elect. Verses 11 through 13. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. One of the uniqueness of a military is the commanding officer. The person who rose and became the commanding officer. One of the greatest responsibilities of the commanding officer is to make sure his entire legion or entire battalion, his entire group of people are taken care of. And it is the obligation of every single soldier to ensure that they trust that commanding officer. A soldier cannot go into battle questioning the person who gave them that direct order, because they see a small picture. They see the battle right ahead of them. But the commanding officer, the person who is putting that map together, the person who is drawing that big picture, he knows what's there ahead of him. He knows the big picture. And it is the obligation of that soldier to trust 100% what that commanding officer has said. To trust that that person knows what's best. Because he sees the victory in that battle. And therefore, as Christians, Paul is reminding Timothy, it is your and my obligation to trust that commanding officer, to trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He knows what is best for you and I. No matter what hardship He is putting us through, no matter what difficulties are going through, it is important that we trust that officer. Trust commanding officer, who is the Lord, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now the third one, verse 5. Someone can read verse 5 for me. Thank you. Verse 5, now Paul is using another analogy. Now he's comparing the Christian to the third picture, which is an athlete. Paul is reminding Timothy not how you should run the race, but he is telling very specifically, if you have to run the race, or if you have to participate in any sport, there are rules. You cannot come up with your own rules. And Paul is reminding Timothy of that, that there are certain rules that have to be followed. There are certain guidelines for every sport there is. And because of that, you and I, as Christians, it becomes our obligation to know that rules. Going back to the first verse, be faithful in learning the word. Be faithful in teaching the word. The word is our guideline. We need to know what those rules are. Any child here that participate in school sports today can tell you, if you want to play and participate in basketball, the first thing you need to know is, what is a basketball? You need to know what it looks like. If I throw to an ignorant child a soccer ball and say, hey, that's the basketball, let's go play basketball, that child might listen because that child doesn't know any better. But if I give it to someone who knows the rules of the game and say, here's the basketball, what do you think they will do? They'll give you the stare of your life. Like, don't you know what a basketball looks like? And now you think about it. What are the first steps in the basketball game? The child is taught the rules of the game. How many players should be there? What's the boundary? What do you do? Do you kick the ball? Do you throw the ball? The rules are explained. Now, where do we get that opportunity? It comes from directly from the Word. So it becomes absolutely important for us not to ignore the Scriptures. That's the rule book. So how much time do we spend learning the rules? If you are going to be a basketball star, I can guarantee you, you've gone through every single rule in that book. You've learned it in and out. You watched shows or replays of all the different games because you want to know every trick and every rule in that game book. And as a Christian, if we believe and we trust that the Scriptures is our rule book, that this is our guideline, then what should we be doing? We should be searching the Scriptures to know what are the rules and what are the guidelines. And if we choose to ignore it, then you and I will not know how to play this game. You and I will not be an athlete just like Paul is asking Timothy to be. So Paul is reminding and exhorting Timothy here again. I want you to think like an athlete. I want you to know the rules of this game. Verses 6 and 7 will take us to the next topic. Verses 6 and 7. Someone can read it. The hardworking farmer. Here's another analogy that Paul is putting through. The fourth ministry that we as Christians have is that of a farmer. It's unique how he's not talking about what the farmer does, but he's very specific, saying he must be the first to partake of the crops. The farmer deserves the share of his harvest. But to deserve that share of that crop, the farmer's got to do some things. You don't partake of the crops unless you even have a crop to begin with. And in order to have a crop, the first thing you need to do is you need to prepare the field. You need to make sure the field is ready to have whatever crop that you want is. The seeds have to be put in. Then, just because you put the seeds down doesn't mean you're harvesting. There's a time of wait. That's the second thing that the farmer must do. The farmer must be patient. The farmer must understand that it is going to take time. The harvest doesn't come overnight. It takes months for the harvest to happen. And so, Paul is reminding Timothy, first, prepare the field. That's the first obligation of a farmer. Second, you be patient. The harvest will come. And when that harvest comes, you as a farmer will be the first one to partake of the crops. And that's the reassurance that we all have. As Christians, as Christian ministers, that we have the obligation to make sure that the field is ready. Make sure that our children and make sure that the people around us are prepared to listen to that gospel. And then to be patient. Patient so that the Lord can work in that person's heart to bring them back to that fold or to bring them to that saving grace. Because then, as a farmer, you and I can have that opportunity to partake of that crop. Verses 14 through 18, if someone can read that out loud. So I work in some sort of a manufacturing slash warehouse kind of work. So any worker that is brought to my company, we inspect their work. So there's always a quality division. So you as a worker, Paul is reminding Timothy that you are a worker. Now as part of being a worker, you need to know that that you put in is of utmost quality. You need to make sure that the work you did is good so that when someone inspects it, that there's no flaw there. The quality manager is our Lord. And when He inspects that work that you and I did, He wants to know that the work was done properly. And that should be how a worker, Christians like us, should do. Be diligent in our labor, but making sure that the quality of that work is good. Where it comes to is making sure you rightly divide the word of truth. No matter what role you play, maybe all you are is a father, maybe you're a brother, maybe you're a sister, a mother, but any capacity that you have outside of the church, any capacity that you have within the church, make sure when that opportunity comes to you that you're able to rightly divide the word to those that you are responsible for. And in order to do that in a proper way, to be able to rightly divide, which means the quality is important, you need to be spending time in His word. So Paul is reminding Timothy here again of this responsibility. You as a Christian minister, now you are a worker. And a worker has to put forth good work so that it can pass that inspection. The other piece of that is, when you think about it, when you learn the word and when you know the scriptures, now how do you use it becomes the next important piece. Are you using the scriptures to teach and divide the word properly, or are you using the scriptures as your, like, where's Finney here? Like a lawyer. Are you using, in some cases, to spin that word to make an argumentative case? What is it that you are trying to do? As a worker, are you trying to come up with the word and work that word properly, rightly dividing it, or are you using it to spin it around and use it to whatever suits your taste? Every argument that I've heard in my short span of life in an assembly, there's a scripture or verse for something. But the question is, are you and I using scripture to justify what we are thinking, to justify our actions, or are you rightly dividing the word? And Paul is reminding Timothy about that. You be watchful. You be careful about this. You are a worker. Your worker, when you do your work, it has to be flawless. You will be inspected, and when that happens, there shouldn't be a fault in it. And now I'm reminding you, when you do that, nobody should be able to come to you and point a finger at you. You shouldn't be seen as the person that is twisting the word to your own good. Always, when Scripture is shared, always when a brother or sister is rebuked, it is done out of love. The intent behind it. Paul is reminding Timothy, who is very young, he's reminding Timothy that, Timothy, got to be careful over here. Are you using the Scripture when the time comes for a rebuke? When the time comes for correction, are you using it to maintain that love? Are you using it to maintain that spirit of unity? What are you using the Scripture for? It's a good reminder for us as Christians. When we learn the Word and when we share the Word, and when it is time for that correction, when it is time for that rebuke, are we doing it out of love? Are we doing it with the intent and the vision and the goal that we are maintaining that spirit of unity? Quickly go through the next one, verses 19 through 22. Someone can read that, verses 19 through 22. Amen. Now, Paul is taking this to a different level. He's telling Timothy that as a Christian minister, you also are a vessel. And in a vessel, you have the good and the bad. Which one do you want to be? Now, verse 22 is very specific. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Going back to what we talked about earlier. So as believers, as Christian ministers, we have to make sure that we flee. There is no room to play with it. The word flee means flee. When do you flee? If you see a large tornado that is coming right next door to us, are you going to sit and watch to see which direction it's going? Or are you going to flee? Flee is you don't think twice. Flee means you run immediately. You run for cover. You run to a safe zone. And Paul is reminding Timothy, you are a vessel. Every Christian is. So therefore, flee all youthful lust. Paul is reminding Timothy, who is managing an assembly there, a group of Christians. He's a leader there. And he's reminding Timothy, you be careful, young man. Make sure you flee youthful lusts. And then he says, don't just flee. Here's how you can do that. You need to pursue righteousness. You need to pursue faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord. One of the most important things that we as believers need to be reminded is that importance of that spirit of unity, that importance of being at peace with one another. Flee strife as far as you can. The moment you see an argument coming, the moment you see a dissension coming, flee from it. For most of the several of us that are young here, and the others that are young at heart, we get our blood boiling very quickly. It doesn't take much for us to get upset and get our blood boiling. But that's part of our youthful lust. That's our youth. And Paul is reminding Timothy, I know you will have your blood boiling every so often, but I want you to flee from it. I want you to think about the righteousness. I want you to think about maintaining the peace. I want you to think about maintaining that spirit of unity. So as Christians, Paul is reminding us again, flee from it. Our obligation, our object, our job is not to cause strife. Our object is not to cause dissension. Our object is not to cause others to sin. Our objective is to make sure that we are serving Him and to bring glory unto Him. The last one is from verses 23 through 26. Someone can read that. Verses 23 through 26. Amen. Paul is now wrapping it all up. He's explained everything Timothy, as a Christian, as a good servant, should do. And he's saying, you're now being compared to a slave, a servant, a Christian being a servant. Now, Paul is making it very, very simple here. He's just simply saying, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. A servant has no right to raise their voice. A servant is a servant. Some of us may have had some experiences having some helpers at our house. How many times have you seen, this is not even a slave, right? This is just a helper. How many times have you seen a helper raise their voice against their master? Now think about slaves. We've heard stories about slaves. How many slaves do you think had the guts to raise their voices against their masters? And Paul is reminding Timothy about that. As a servant, as a slave, you are required to be gentle. You are required to be calm. You and I, as servants, take that position of a servant, and that is to serve in all humility, in all gentleness, considering the other above you. And that is what Paul is reminding Timothy as well. As we wrap this up, just to remind how Paul had explained this to Timothy. Comparing himself, comparing Christians, giving that obligation and ministry to Timothy and saying, remember that we are stewards. Remember that we are soldiers. Remember that we are athletes. Remember that we are farmers. Remember that we are workers. Remember that each one of us are vessels. And last but not the least, remember that we are all but servants. Because there's going to become a day that we look forward to. When we come and take part in this Lord's table, we are reminded of that same hope. That He is going to come once again. Every time we come here and we see this table and we are able to participate, we are reminded that He has not yet come. And when that day comes, when He is here to take us home to be with Him, that question's going to come. Have you been a good and faithful servant? Will we have that privilege that He will call us and say, well done, good and faithful servant? As a reminder and as a closing encouragement, my prayer is that we will trust in this commanding officer, that we will trust in Him who knows our future, who knows our ways, that we can commit our life to Him, just like Paul reminded Timothy. We cannot be any of this without His help. So how do we trust Him? How do we make sure we commit our life to Him so that we can continue to live a life that is pleasing to Him? In closing, I'd like Bivin to come and lead us in a hymn, and he will close in prayer. Be hymn number 509. In the red hymnal, 509.
Praise and thank God for that powerful word. Shall we stand together and sing hymn number 509? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Savior, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the one. We thank you for the privilege that we know to be one with you. We thank you for the services that you have called us into, and we pray that, Lord, you would give us the wisdom, that you would give us the grace to know in which way you have called us, to use the talents, to use the abilities that you have blessed us with, that we might use it all only for your glory. And we pray that day by day, that even in these words that we have sung, that we would seek to trust you, that in our service of you, that as we seek to bring glory and honor to you, that we might continue to live for you, trusting you day by day. And we thank you for this word, and we pray that you would bless it to our hearts as we commit all into your care in the sweetest name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.